I know there are a lot of people out there who probably think, well, here's a guy who, you know, was second best at best to Abraham Lincoln. Why should we care about Stephen Douglas? Why is it important to remember him and learn about him?
Well, Stephen Douglas was important in the same way that the most powerful congressman for a decade is always important, which is to say things are not exactly wrapped around his little finger. He does not direct all affairs. Certainly the president doesn't. But for part of Douglas's period of real strength and all through the 1850s, he was more powerful than the president. And in the long scheme of things, maybe a decade isn't much. But because that decade did lead to the Civil War, it has a greater importance, I think, than most other decades in our history.
He is someone, though, that I don't want to say he's forgotten about in history. Everybody knows about the Lincoln-Douglas debates, and people remember him, certainly. But he, I guess, was on the wrong side of history in some respects, right?
Yeah, he is, from our point of view, by all standards, on the wrong side. It doesn't mean that it had to end up that way. And he was right on some other questions. There are ways in which he and Lincoln agreed on things for Illinois, for example, and national affairs in other ways. I guess sometimes people who defend him ask whether Lincoln ever would have become anybody at all but for Douglas, that is, without having the 1858 Senate campaign to launch Lincoln into national prominence against the most important senator in the country, would Lincoln have been noticed? And then could he have run for president? And the answer is, yeah, maybe, maybe not. That's a fair point. But as you point out, too, why is Douglas sort of forgotten, but not really? It's because he ran against Lincoln. And there are plenty of other senators who are powerful for 10 years who are completely forgotten today because they didn't run against Lincoln.
When we talk about things like sports, for example, you know, you always see a great team and they always had that rival that seemed to maybe elevate their performance, the other team's performance. You know, was that the case with Douglas? Did he elevate Lincoln to a level that maybe a lot of people didn't think Lincoln was capable of getting to?
Yeah, there may be some of that. It's more that he gave him a very extended period of time to get his message out in a full way. And today we don't have anything like that. These presidential debates that are on TV or the primary season debates are little tiny scraps of buzzwords and quotations and evasions compared to what they did back then. A 30-minute speech followed by a 90-minute speech followed by a 60-minute speech going back and forth between the candidates. And that's where you develop your full ideas. And so, yeah, Lincoln had a chance to develop that with a lot of press attention during those debates against Douglas. But it doesn't mean that he wasn't able to make his great three-hour speech in Springfield and then again in Peoria in 1854. That was pretty well covered in the state. And so he didn't necessarily need Douglas to be the sounding board there.
See, let me ask you about the ongoing exhibit right now, and it's going to be ongoing until the fall. You know, what can people see and learn about Douglas when they come to the museum?
Well, there's some wonderful little coincidences between his life and Lincoln's life that show up in this exhibit. And again, we're not trying to put him only into the shadow with or into the hourglass with Lincoln. But it is true that they were contemporaries. Douglas was 4 years younger than Lincoln, and he was going through school at about the same time. And as luck would have it, we've got some of his teenage school practice pages on display of a sort that are much more famous when Lincoln did them, when Lincoln did his Indiana log cabin mathematics practice pages, of which five are on display right now at the Indiana State Museum, one of them having been lent from our collection. Douglas was a boy going through that. There's also an interesting little surprise to me. I hadn't seen it before we dug it out for this exhibit. In 1856, Douglas, as a senator from Illinois, was writing to the governor of Iowa, James Grimes, asking if he could support a certain guy for a federal position. And turns out the guy got the position. Turns out later, Governor Grimes, who was a Republican, became a senator and voted for the 13th Amendment and helped end slavery. And that's on the same document that Lincoln signed to end slavery, which Stephen Douglas would never have signed himself. It's a little kind of a circle there of all these powerful, interesting people who cooperate with one another for one thing and disagree on others. It's just like politics today.
Do you find that people are wanting to learn more about Douglas, or is it a situation where people are sort of like, you know, I came here to learn about Lincoln, and this guy finished second to him, and I don't care anymore, you know?
No. Well, it's important to give everyone their due if you can. He was a pro-Union Democrat and wore himself out in the cause of trying to persuade his fellow Democrats, especially in the South, to preserve the Union. And he did that after a long, serious conversation with Lincoln, whom he had known for 25 years by that point. So, of course, they're rivals in some ways, but they are also cooperating. And that's why this exhibit comes up now. And nobody's going to go away from this museum thinking that Lincoln has been shortchanged. Once in a while, we do get people asking why there isn't more about Douglas, or why there isn't more about a couple of Lincoln's cabinet members, perhaps, who disagreed with him, or why there isn't more about Vandalia, Illinois, a place where Lincoln spent some quality time as a state legislator. All of these things we can address in little ways for a little while with rotating exhibits, as we do here.
You have studied Douglas quite a bit, as well as Lincoln. For a man that was as politically smart and certainly as eloquent as he was, do you think he would be surprised today to find himself sort of relegated to more of the back pages of history?
I can't read the man's mind, Sean, but I think he'd be disappointed. He had a pretty good-sized ego, and there's nothing wrong with that. If he used it in ways that he thought were for the good of the country. And what he did were things he thought were good for the country. It's just that he was wrong. He misread the public mood, the public opinion about the Compromise of 1850 being overturned by the Kansas-Nebraska Act in 1854 that he introduced, that he fought to get through Congress to reopen the question of whether slavery would be allowed, as it turns out, in the Great Plains. He misunderstood just how much opposition there was in the country to that idea. He was trying to settle what was an ongoing burning problem in the nation, which was how and where exactly to terminate slavery, or how and where to let it continue. And he was taken by surprise a little bit. He wasn't trying to cause a civil war. Hardly anybody was trying to cause a civil war except John Brown in Kansas or the fire eaters in Charleston Harbor in South Carolina. And so I think Douglas was probably a little bit ashamed, without ever having said so, that his actions had indirectly led to a civil war. But Lincoln was in the same frying pan, really. Lincoln knew that his election is partly what caused a war to start.